All right, so what do you want to talk about? A tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California, and I've got a really, really good show for you. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are talking NFL. We are talking college football. Got some good association for you today, and a lot more. Plus, episode 107 of the Jim Rome podcast is going to drop later on today. Come and get some. Telephone number is toll free. It's wide open. I'm going to start you off with some open phones. 1-800-636-8686. I actually saw something on Twitter. Clone generated. I've got content from you clones. I'm going to play along. Something from the clones on Twitter turning into a segment later on today. So be sure to listen for that. You have your phone number. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can do that. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E. Haveatake.com. Mention college football. The head football coach at UAB, Bill Clark, joins me at 40 past. A number of you Bucks fans have been saying, what about us? Why are we not getting any love? Why don't we get more national love? Well, you do on this program. You know that. Head coach of the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer, joins me in hour number two. Memphis Tigers head football coach, Mike Norvell, coming up in hour number three. And a clone-generated segment coming up later on. Let me start with the NFL. It could be a rough few weeks for NFL head coaches because the seats are heating up. You've got Doug Marrone. You have Dan Quinn. You have Matt Patricia. Of course, the clubhouse leader and the most talked about member of that field is Jason Garrett. But the Clapper did not have a game on Sunday, so nothing could have changed for him, right? Wrong. He may not have had a game, but Jerry Jones had his radio program on Tuesday, and Jones did his very best to put out that Garrett fire by dumping barrels of gasoline all over the flames.
Nobody's got the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl. But they're qualified people. Jason Garrett is one of them. In my opinion, Jason Garrett would be coaching in the NFL next year.
104.3, the fan with that audio. 105.3, I should say. First off, I've got no idea whatsoever what this guy's talking about with the first two sentences of that quote. Jarrett said, quote, nobody has the exclusive skills to get the job done so that collectively you can win a Super Bowl, end quote. The hell does that even mean? The hell does anything this guy says at this point even mean? That sounds like something that somebody would say when they're trying to sound really smart, but actually have no idea what they're talking about. The hell does Jerry Jones even know about winning a Super Bowl anyway? Jimmy Johnson won him the ones that he has. And then when Johnson got all the credit and Jones got none, he ran his coach off. And he hasn't got anywhere near sniffing the Lombardi ever since then. So what does Jones know about winning the Super Bowl or who's qualified to do it or not? Still, he insists that Jason Garrett is one of the people who is qualified to win a Lombardi trophy. Debatable. In fact, most Cowboy fans would tell you there actually is no debate. Plenty would pose the question, exactly what does Garrett do that sets him apart from any other head coach? Exactly what is this guy really good at besides clapping? And that's not me talking junk about Red. I mean, I mean that as a serious question. Where does this guy excel? What is this guy known for? What is Garrett's process? What kind of a culture has he created there? Exactly what does this guy do other than clap? I literally have no idea. Jerry Jones, though, must. He's kept this guy around for a decade, and he insists that Garrett is one of the chosen few. Quote, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. End quote. That's got to be pretty reassuring, huh, Red? Your contract is up. Your team is underachieving again, but it's all good because the owner just said you will be coaching in the NFL next year. Just maybe not here. And maybe not as a head coach. Like, that was the sound of Jarrah cranking the thermostat in the coach's office to about 1,000 degrees. Still, Jarrah is doing what Jarrah does best, talking out of both sides of his mouth. So, bottom line this for me, Jarrah, I'm confused. Is Garrett your man or not?
Well, first of all, Jason Garrett's a good coach. To start right there, he's a good coach. Jason Garrett, make no mistake about it, is one of the smartest coaches, and he's also one of the hardest working coaches. He knows his team better than anybody. So I'm glad to have him. He is the guy for the job.
He knows this team better than anybody. Generally, the vote of confidence is the kiss of death, but that's not even that. The best thing that guy can say about his coach is he knows the team better than anybody. Like, yeah, I'll tell you what, Jason Garrett, he knows everybody by name. He can identify every single player on the team. He's great at that. He knows their names. He knows their wife's names. He even knows some of their kids' names. Like, I know Jerry meant that as a compliment, but it sounds like he's talking about a diehard fan of the team and not his head coach. And if the best that Jones can say about Garrett, if that's it, then he's as good as gone. Winning the sorry NFC East is not going to be enough to save Garrett. Neither will making it to the postseason and advancing. Says right here, Jason Garrett's going to have to make a deep, deep run in the postseason, maybe even a Super Bowl run, to save his gig. And looking at him and looking at them, that's just not happening. But clap him up, Red. And just know, nobody could ever take that fiery lettuce from you. So you've got that going for you, which is something, I guess. And Jason Garrett was not the only one feeling the heat yesterday. While everybody has been focused on Garrett, Pat Shurmur has quietly been putting together a truly hideous run with the Giants. They're 2-10 this year. They're 2-13 in their last 15. They've lost 8 straight. It has gotten so bad, it makes Ben McAdoo and his comically oversized suit and window breakers and greased back lettuce look like Bill Parcells. The B-man was 13-15 when he was canned, and he had a playoff appearance on his resume. Shurmur doesn't have any of that. And yet he's so desperate to make chicken bleep seem like chicken salad that he was hyping Daniel Jones for throwing INTs instead of fumbling. So yesterday, Giants co-owner Steve Tisch was asked by Bruce Beck of WNBC if he and John Mara had confidence in Shurmur and GM Dave Gettleman. He said, quote, "Those decisions and conversations are not going to be made this morning. It's really at the end of the season that John and I are going to sit down and talk about these issues," end quote. So maybe that puts Shurmur into the lead in the race that nobody wants to win. Or at least he was until Carolina's David Tepper stepped in and took action. And that action was firing Ron Rivera. I mean, I know there had been rumblings, but even then, that's still pretty shocking. Because unlike Garrett and Shurmur, Rivera actually has had success. Rivera had a long run in Carolina. Riverboat Ron was a legend there. He led Carolina to the playoffs 4 times. He led them to an NFC title. And he's going on this year without his franchise quarterback. And the guy's pretty much universally loved and respected. Except remember, Tepper had told reporters 2 weeks back he was not interested in long-term mediocrity. And then that was followed up by losses to New Orleans and Washington. So I'm not going to say that Rivera deserved to be fired or deserved better treatment than this. But if the guy in charge says he's not interested in long-term mediocrity, and then your team loses to Washington, an organization so terrible that long-term mediocrity would be an improvement, then you know something's going to go down. And they're not going to wait until the end of the season, and they didn't. Tepper was running out of patience, and watching his team take a 14-0 lead over Washington only to allow 29 unanswered points is the kind of thing that's going to test your patience. The kind of thing that's going to get a head coach whacked, even one as good as Ron Rivera. So where does that leave us? Unlike Jerry Jones, Tepper is going to take action. He knows what he wants in a head coach. He knows who's probably going to be available. And he wanted to get out in front of it and start having those conversations and not have them while Rivera was still in the building, twisting. He said, quote, "I have great regard for Ron Rivera. He is one of the finest guys in the game, period. That's not bull bleep. That's just the way it is," end quote. All right, then. So he's going to get a head start on looking for the next coach. Then again, a head start on what? Who's he going to talk to? Guys who aren't employed by NFL teams, which means college coaches and former NFL coaches. Some of the NFL coaches without gigs are not exactly the most inspiring candidates. In other words, nobody wants to get a head start trying to bag Jay Gruden, right? Tepper didn't just fire Ron Rivera so we can get the first crack at Rex Ryan, right? I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's in Tepper's head. I just know that hiring Ryan isn't. Then again, this is about taking action and getting started. If you're going to do something eventually, you may as well do it immediately. And when you take that approach, there've got to be a lot of head coaches who are still employed right now that are going to be nervous. So that carousel has already started to spin. 1-800-636-8686. Ron Rivera does not strike me as a guy who's going to want to take some time off, charge his battery, take a look around, smell the roses. No, Rivera looks to me like a guy and sounds to me like a guy who's going to want to get after it again soon.
Do you want to
coach again?
Coaching?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to take some time away? You want to coach right away?
I got 4 weeks off, okay, until the start of the new season. Well, actually a little bit longer until February, but my intent is to coach again. You know, I love coaching, and not just coaching because it's about winning football games, but coaching because you have an opportunity to impact young men and people, and that's what I want to do. I want to be able to coach people and impact people and win football games and hopefully win a Super Bowl. You know, somebody wanted to ask me my biggest regret. My biggest regret is not winning the Super Bowl. I know I stood up in front when I first got the job and told people I was going to win a Super Bowl, and and that's my biggest regret as the head coach of this football team is that we didn't win it. We got there, and we had our chance. We had our opportunity.
He'll get another gig. Some of these other guys on the hot seat right now I'm not so sure about, like Jason Garrett. I don't see how he survives this, but will he get another head coaching job? I don't know. Jerry Jones said, oh, he'll coach in the NFL next year. He'll coach in the NFL next year. Does not mean he'll be a head coach next year. Ron Rivera will be a head coach next year, I believe. All right, so in addition to that, what about the Jets situation? Adam Gase going in on Le'Veon Bell and Ryan Tannehill? Right when you thought that couldn't get any worse. I want to talk about the NBA. All sorts of bizarre in the association last night. Like that dunk that was not a dunk from James Harden. And a lot of you who were hating on the Lakers after the Mavericks got them, they made a statement last night. We'll get into that a little bit later on. The bald Mamba got nice. People are sick. The flu is going around. A lot of people have the flu in different sports, in different states. I've got that too. 1-800-636-8686. And a clone-generated segment. Content from Twitter coming up a little bit later on. Episode 107 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Coming up after the program, former NFL executive Michael Lombardi is my guest. Today's a Wednesday, so I've got the ATP as well. This email says, Jim, I am shocked at how impulsively the Panthers' ownership is in firing Ron Rivera. That sure seemed like a knee-jerk reaction. Give the guy a few more years, for goodness sake. Regards, Jerry Jones. Eric in Colorado Springs. Tepper said it a few weeks back. He said, I'm not going to accept mediocrity. Losing puts me in a bad mood. And then they went out and the Redskins beat him. And it was a bad, bad loss. So that cost Rivera. Jim, I'm very upset that the refs did not allow that basket to count. I would have shot 31% for the game instead of 28%. Bastards.
You bastards!
Signed, James Harden. Hey, Hawk, you know you brought me an email from the same guy? Back to back. Do you read who they're from? Obviously not. Rome Slice. Give me back my son.
Give me back my son.
Regards, Rome, Hawk, and Ike shaking their fists at the clouds during their rain-soaked SoCal morning commute. His subject is, it's raining in SoCal. Why? War IRA using fly swatters as windshield wipers for a shopping cart. It is raining. This town does not do well in the rain. It's all good, though. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we're open right now. Coming up at 40 past, I've got Bill Clark, UAB Blazers head football coach. We are talking Bucks basketball at the top of hour number two. Head coach Mike Budenholzer joins me. Mike Norvell in the third hour. So, Clones, what do we want when we are craving protein or we need more energy? I will tell you what we don't want. We don't want another bar. We don't want sugary snacks. We don't want energy drinks. No, what we want is beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper's great. It's not your old man's jerky. It's not shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak, quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. Why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality, and they take smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the beach, to the gym, to the game. So look for it in the Clearview bag. That way you see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so I start the program off by talking about the one coaching change with Carolina. And all the other coaches were on the hot seat. Used to be you'd get 3 years, then it was two, and in some cases you might not even get more than one. This email says, Rome, don't forget about that fat loser in Detroit. This mad scientist has gone 9-18-1. And while I do love a good old fat coach, Matt Patricia is clearly a fraud. Signed, Matt in Vancouver. War coaches in that dump of Detroit getting laid off instead of fired. The guys have done a lot more and gotten fired in the D. So that's the tattoo. In terms of Ron Rivera, you know, I can see the argument that Jerry Jones is going to make a move with Jason Garrett. Again, Garrett, winning that division is not going to be enough to save his job. Getting into the postseason and advancing is not going to be enough to save his job. He's going to make a deep run. But the Cowboys, by virtue of the division they play in, are still very much in this thing. It might not make a lot of sense to make that move right now. Carolina, on the other hand, really is not going anywhere. And David Tepper, the owner of that team, had been on record as saying, look, I'm not really happy with what I'm seeing. Again, losing puts me in a bad mood. I'm not going to accept mediocrity. Something's got to change. And then it didn't, so he made the move.
Look, I came here 2 years ago. I wanted to show patience on the football side and see how it was going. You know, on the business side, we made vast and sweeping changes. And I didn't want to make those vast and sweeping changes on the football side. I'm going to take time and patience to see what could go and how it could go. I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side.
So the guy came in a couple of years back, made changes on the business side, wanted to see how it went from a football standpoint. And then they had a couple of tough years. Look, I think Ron Rivera is a hell of a coach. I'd hire him. Absolutely. To me, he's not one of those guys who's a retread and it's kind of a fallback position to be in. I like this guy. I think that he's extremely well-respected. He's actually beloved around the league. Guys play hard for him. I think he's a hell of a coach. But, they've lost four straight. Last year, they went through a stretch where they lost seven straight. Injuries are obviously a factor, but when you have a pair of big losing streaks like that, it's not surprising that a guy who bought the team 2 years ago, who's made it pretty clear I need to see more, is going to step up and make a change. And if you're going to ultimately make that change, you may as well do it immediately. I mean, Carolina's got this weird history where they've never had back-to-back winning seasons. You know, they look like they've got the thing squared up and squared away, and then they retreat. And obviously this guy's seen that, he knows that, and was not going to wait around and see much more of it. So he made his change. That was not one bad game. That was the nail in the coffin, though. Losing to the Redskins, when the owner is on record as saying, it puts me in a bad mood and I'm not going to accept mediocrity, and then you go out and you get hammered by Redskin team, you're not long for it. That obviously is not going to go well. Who else is coming up? Pat Shurmur's in a bad spot. Matt Patricia's not in a good spot. Jason Garrett's not in a good spot. You got to think there's going to be probably a half a dozen changes again. And then where do you go for the next guy? Do you look for that experience? Or do you try and get, say, a Lincoln Riley? And by the way, how did Jason Garrett last 10 years with the Cowboys? Cowboy fan, what do you think is going to happen? What does this guy have to do to save his job? And I want to talk some basketball, too. All sorts of bizarre in the association last night, starting with this dunk from James Harden against the San Antonio Spurs.
The steal and the dunk.
Oh, he missed it!
No, that was
wait a minute. That ball went
that was
through.
Good, yeah.
It came out.
I thought, wait a minute. Just checking it out.
Oh, remember the Manu play in New York a few years ago? I mean, this goes through, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, normally a Harden dunk is followed by the beard going with that signature nosebleed celebration. But that dunk was followed up by straight-up confusion because the dunk went down and it went through the hoop and then it flipped back around and the ref somehow completely missed it. And no worries, not a big thing, right? Not a big thing because the Rockets had a 13-point lead at that point. Actually, kind of a big thing because that game ended up going into OT and then double OT and the Rockets lost. So you think maybe those 2 points may have come in handy at the end of regulation. And to me, the question is, how is it possible that in an era where there's never been more technology and more reviews of plays in sports, that it seems like every single day there's a ref or an official or an umpire in some sport who's getting something wrong? I'm not even here to talk about that. Like, if I wanted to bash the refs, I could do that every single day for 3 hours. And it would be easy, and you would love it. Instead, I'm here to keep it positive. I'm here to talk about good news. I'm here to talk about good vibes, good feelings. And right about now, nobody's feeling better than Laker fan. They're rolling into work today. They've got their chest puffed out even more than usual. And they want you to come up on them and say, how you living? What's going on? Even better, you know what Laker fan wants? Laker fan wants you to question the Lakers. They want you to run the same tired questions you've been running at them all season long. You know, questions about who have you beaten? How easy is that schedule? Laker fan is now ready for that because after last night, they're going to hit you with this. Lakers 105, Nuggets 96. The Lakers just lost to the Mavs. That ended their winning streak, and all the Laker haters were out in force. Like, LA's been exposed. LA hasn't beaten anybody. LA is going to fold. Paper champs. They're nothing. And Laker fans are coming back now with, yeah, who have we beaten? They just beat the best team in the Northwest Division in their place, and they did it by 9. And they out-rebounded the Nuggets by 26, 68-42. So maybe there's no such thing as a statement win in December, but if there was, that would be it. Who have they beaten? They beat the Nuggets on the road. A really good Nuggets team, and they did it with Anthony Davis battling the flu.
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, AD?
AD, what's good, baby?
And they still won. This guy got an IV at halftime. Then he dropped 13 of his 25 in the third quarter and played DPOY level defense on the other end. And remember, that's a rematch. Nearly 1 year later of a Denver win over LA that was so legendary, it gave the world this amazing quote from Nuggets head coach Michael Malone.
LeBron is arguably the best player ever. And when he comes to town and the Lakers, you know, their fans carry it. But as long as their fans go home disappointed, that's all I care about. So the Warrior fans can come in here, the Celtic fans can come in here, Laker fans come in here. But take that L on the way out.
Take that L on the way out. That was an awesome moment. An awesome moment, not just for Malone, but for the Nuggets organization last year. It announced they were on the big stage. They were not backing down. That was a statement. I didn't think last night would give us another moment like that, but it did. Because Davis was not the only guy battling the flu. According to LeBron's estimate, 6 players were under the weather. LeBron, Davis, Kuzma, Rondo. And they still found a way to win on the road at altitude in a game where it would have been easier to lose than win. I'll finish the thought in a minute because that was not the only statement made by a Laker last night. It was another major statement made by a Laker. And I need a little space to get into that. If it sounds like I'm kind of fired up, it's because I am. Everybody was coming hard for the Lakers. Who have they beaten? Who have they played? What have they done? What the hell does it even matter? Well, they made a statement last night. They went into Denver and they took care of the Nuggets. And there was one more big statement, which I'll get to a little bit later on. But when we come back, the head football coach at UAB, Bill Clark, joins me. Top of the hour, Milwaukee Bucks basketball is our topic. Mike Budenholzer, a hell of a coach now. And they are having a huge first half. He's at the top of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. Ravens at the Bills. Mafia, what are you waiting for? This is it. The Ravens are coming to your house. Big Thursday night matchup I want to get into. All of that still ahead, but
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, Wednesday is an ATP day, Ask the Pros, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question right there. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You've got to ask the question right there. Don't tweet it. Don't email it to me. Hit it at that address. That's where we'll do it. Mike Budenholzer coming up, top of the hour, but as promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at UAB. He was named head coach there in January of 2014, National Coach of the Year last season, led the Blazers to a second straight divisional title. UAB is 9-3 overall. They're 6-2 in conference play. And the Conference USA Championship game, UAB at FAU, is Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Bill Clark is my guest. Bill, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. So you went into Saturday's game needing the win at North Texas and a Florida Atlantic win over Southern Miss to claim the West Division title for a second straight year. What was the vibe among the players heading into that game?
Well, you know, I think just the fact that we know we're playing for a championship. And, you know, I think anytime you're at the last game of the year and you've got that opportunity, it's special. So, I don't think you could ask for more to get a chance to play for a championship that late in the year, and there we were. We knew we needed some help, but I said, let's just take care of what we can take care of.
Then you've got T.D. Marshall, Bill, who made a play, a 76-yard pick late in the third quarter that gave you a 26-21 lead that you did not relinquish. When you forced the turnover on downs late in the fourth quarter and you got the ball back and then you picked up the first down to ice the game, what kind of emotions were you feeling at that point?
Oh, my gosh. It was just crazy. I mean, I really had not heard the score since somebody gave me one at halftime that FAU was leading, but it wasn't official, and it was like, all right, victory formation, Southern Miss has lost, FAU's won, we're the champs. I mean, it was all together, and it was terrific.
Bill Clark joining us. You know, in that game also, the defense had 7 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss, and a pair of interceptions, including Marshall's pick 6. So how fitting was it that it was your defense, which is top 5 in the nation, that came through yet again with another huge performance?
Yeah, I think it was it was fitting. I mean, our offense was playing well, and you know, we lost our quarterback, and we had to have our young redshirt freshman come in. But the defense has just been unbelievable, and for them to win it really for us on a takeaway and a score was very fitting.
UAB head coach Bill Clark joining us here in the jungle. So you're back in the championship game again, but this season's been really different from last year. You lost more than 30 seniors. You went through a stretch in the middle of the season where you had a pair of back-to-back losses on the road. You dealt with some key injuries, yet you bounced back. What was that stretch in early November like, and how proud are you with the way everybody responded?
Well, I think, you know, we had become a throwing team. You know, we early on we struggled because we had, you know, all these new linemen, and we had some really good receivers. We started throwing, and then we lose our quarterback against Tennessee. And, you know, we go in there to Southern Miss and don't play well. We probably try and throw it too much, which is my fault. And we had to reinvent ourselves. and to see us get our running game back, get the physicality back, play great defense, and then win those games, it was just special.
I'm talking to Bill Clark. The Conference USA Championship game is UAB at FAU. It's Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Network. Now, as you and I have talked about, last year was so special because of everything that everybody had been through with rebuilding that program from scratch. And then you win the conference championship and a bowl game. It's pretty much impossible to compare one season to another. But how special is this one when you replace all that talent and you still get back to the championship game? And what's that say about the state of the program and the foundation that you've been able to build?
Yeah, I think as a coach, this is what I'm, you know, I was, last year was, I don't really use that word surreal, but I guess that's what it was, just from nothing. But to then have a program, and I think people really kind of under their breath questioning, okay, you know, they got all these older guys and this, but what are they going to do now? And then to see our program sustain itself, we've only got, you know, 12 seniors, so we've got this whole group coming back next year. I'm really proud of that. I mean, it's just a different kind of proud, but really proud.
You know, Bill, when you look at the way the team has adapted this year, from the outside, it seems like the adaptability was huge in the sense that when the injuries did strike, the running game kicked it in down the stretch. You averaged more than 240 yards the last three games. So what's it say about the players, and especially your wide receivers, who had to really embrace their roles as blockers?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have said a better, you know, way you said that, because here these guys are just all over the national news of leading in yards per catch and being dynamic. And then all of a sudden, okay, guys, you've got to now take a step back and block. You know, so I think that tells you a lot about our coaches to get them to buy in. That tells you a lot about the kids to buy into it and just want to win. And that's what we talk about. It is, that's what I love about football. It is the team. It is sacrificing for the team. And I think these guys did that.
UAB head football coach Bill Clark joining us. The championship game's coming up this weekend. You know, when you look at the senior class in particular, you've got a senior class that some of these guys, as an example, I would take like center Lee Dufour. He was one of the seniors who was a freshman back in 2014 when the program was disbanded. He comes back when the program was reinstated. So what's it mean to see him get rewarded with back-to-back trips to the conference championship game when you consider everything a guy like that's been through?
Yeah, I think that's just, I mean, that's the things you hope for. You pray for that a guy that believes and works hard, and then good things happen for him. So I think that's, you know, it's just sweet justice for a guy like that and Vogel, the kicker, to come in, sacrifice, believe in the program, and they'll always be remembered around here as guys that helped bring it back and bring it back the right way.
All right, so tomorrow you're getting a send-off from the Football Operations Center before you head out to the championship game. What is this week like as you get ready for that? Is it just another game, or is it tough to ignore that there is a trophy and a championship involved, and it's more than just that game?
Yeah, I think that's what we always want to say is, man, we're proud of you. You've done something great, but we're not satisfied. So I'm sure FAU is saying the same thing, but it is, there is a championship, you know, on the line here, and that's what we don't want to forget. And I think we've had great preparation. I tell the players it's okay to be happy but not be satisfied.
Bill Clark joining me for another moment or so. You mentioned FAU, so you're going to face them in their place, which means going up against Lane Kiffin. What kind of thoughts do you have about their offense and how he dials it up?
Well, you know, you've got a really good play caller. So just in what they do, one, they're running tempo, which, you know, you're seeing less of now. So, you know, this super fast pace, and you know, they get the ball to their tight end, who's terrific. They run the ball. They run trick plays. They run RPOs. They stretch it vertically, horizontally. You know, you've got to defend it all. He does a really good job, and obviously this is their second trip in 3 years, so he's done a great job.
You know, finally, Bill, you and I have talked about the vision for the program for years now, but back in the dark days, could you have imagined this reality, winning a conference championship so quickly, then getting a chance to repeat, or is this maybe even beyond all that?
I think it's beyond all that. I mean, you know, me and you talked about, could we be competitive, you know, years ago? Could we build this program the way we want to? Then all of a sudden, you know, we're in the championship game. That was just like a miracle, and now here we are. So I think it's beyond my wildest dreams.
He is the head football coach at UAB. He was the National Coach of the Year last year. And again, you've got the conference championship game. It's a big one. UAB at FAU, Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Bill, congrats. Good luck this weekend. And always nice to have you on the show.
Always good to be on, Jim. Thank you so much.
You got it, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate you and you coming back on. Conference USA Championship game. UAB, FAU. He and I have been talking about rebuilding that program, and it's amazing how quickly that's come together. He was named head coach back in January of 2014 and just led them to a second straight divisional title. All right, so quickly, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Mike Budenholzer is coming up at the top of the hour, Milwaukee Bucks head coach. So I want to finish the thought really quickly on the LA Lakers, because a lot of you, again, were saying things like, who have they beaten? What does it matter? It's not sustainable. And, oh, by the way, who have they beaten? Well, they've beaten the Denver Nuggets, and they did it in their house. They found a way to get it done on the road at altitude in a game where much of the roster was sick, a game where it would have been easier to lose than win. They made a statement. In fact, there were a number of statements. You want a statement? How about this? Roll this. In fact, roll the hell out of this statement.
LeBron gets it right back to Danny Green. Behind the back to Green. On its way. Does not go down. Oh, the Caruso! The final slam!
Just take that dunk on the way down. Alex Caruso, the bald mamba with the putback jam. I'm telling you, I better see another mural or 50 of that by the weekend. That is the stuff of legend. All hail our balding God. Not you, Ike. Well, yeah, you too, Ike. You too, Ike. You just don't have his hops. Run it back for me one more time.
On its way, does not go down. Oh, the Caruso! The final slam!
Check it out on CBS Sports Network right now. Throw it down, bald man! That dunk was electric. So electric, it had the crowd in Denver rocking. That was filthy. That dunk was so nasty. The entire gym better be scrubbed down and sterilized after that, because that kind of nastiness is contagious. How do you explain something like that? Is a moment like that, I don't know, is that like art? Is that science? Does that just happen? Is it planned? I don't know. Why don't we go inside the head of the master himself?
You know, I think a lot of it's just good fortune. Like, a lot of it's the bounces. But I put myself in a good position. I saw Dwight was wrestling with whoever was underneath, and there was just a clear lane for me. And as the ball is going to the rim, I'm kind of tracking it. And played so much basketball since you're young, you know how the ball is going to bounce off the rim. So I saw it was probably going to land off the front and just bounce right back to me. So I just kind of went for it, and it worked. I've been doing this so long. For me, it's just another play. Like, I'm used to doing this. I've been doing this at the park, in high school and college, AU. So, like, that's kind of just what I do.
That's kind of just what I do. This dude's kind of a genius. This guy's amazing. Amazing. How come I'm the only one talking about him? Why doesn't he get more credit? Hell yes, that's kind of just what you do. Everybody in Laker gear is battling an illness, but this guy's just bringing the sickness. It's just kind of what he does. I cannot get enough of the bald mamba. I cannot get enough. In fact, run it back for me one more time.
On its way, does not go down. Oh, the Caruso! The final slam!
The only thing better than him doing that is him explaining how he did that. All hail the bald mamba.
That's kind of just what I do.
That is just kind of what you do. Long live Alex Caruso. When the season started, I was leaning pretty strongly towards the Clippers. And the Clippers running this town. I don't know. I mean, I've got to say, watching the Lakers, I think it is sustainable. That's a statement win right there. Going to Denver, illing, and beating them down in their house. And when you've got the bald mamba doing things like that, and describing it the way he did, who's to say? I mean, anything can happen. Because that is exactly what that guy does. They weren't the only team battling the flu. Remember, the Patriots had separate planes. The Seahawks had a flu game. Damn, get a flu shot. Mix in a flu shot. It's that important. It's not that hard, man. It's like every drugstore's got one. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about Adam Gase, the alleged offensive genius who will not use Le'Veon Bell, who pointed the finger at Ryan Tannehill. Let me ask you this about Gase. If the guy's an alleged quarterback whisperer, how is it that Tannehill, who was worthless with him, is now Joe Montana once he left him? my thoughts on Gase and whether or not he's on the hot seat. That's coming up. But Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is next. Stay tuned.